Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. And Doc, we are in the studio with our Bibles open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where we have a wonderful example of missionary praying by one of the great missionaries of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul himself. And we noted that in the first five verses of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul gives us a pattern for praying specifically for missionaries. And that's really the burden that you've had in the broadcasts.
Yes. We said, point one, pray for the sending of the missionaries.
Right.
We had that model in Christ. Pray for the safety of the missionary. We are in the midst of discussing that. Pray for the success of the message. And we have talked about that, and we will continue to crystallize these things as we go along.
And we're actually looking at concrete examples from other places in Paul's ministry where God actually answered these prayers. Like, for example, in verse 1, we talked about praying specifically for the success of the mission and literally of the message that the missionary is carrying. And we went to 1 Thessalonians 1, and you kind of walked us through a wonderful example where in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, look, when we came to you, our entrance wasn't empty.
No, it was there, and there was success. And they had believed, and their message went throughout that whole region.
Right.
So where Paul said that he didn't have to say another word.
And we noted that we could pray specifically, you know, for the Spirit's empowerment. He said, we came unto you in power by the Spirit. And we could pray specifically that the Word of God would cause the convert to turn from their past sins, that it would have present consequences of serving God, and that it would have permanent, ongoing effect in their life as they waited for the coming of Christ. What a wonderful example there.
It is. That chapter is so good to us as believers, because even the verbs in there where it talks about their conversion,
yes,
the verbs and the nouns and the tenses. I remember I preached a message one time on the verbs and nouns and tenses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And where he is talking about the coming of conviction, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And now Paul is in prayer.
Right.
He said, I'm remembering your work of faith. In other words, this was a work that came because they were saved. That
right.
It grew out of their faith. That's a James.
Sourced in their faith.
Yes, that's a James idea. And labor of love. Now, this goes not from the ergon, energetic work, because I'm saved, to kapos, labor of love. That's a death-producing. I'm willing to labor to death.
Because I love.
Uh-huh. But the work of faith was past. That matches the verb ye turned.
Yes.
The labor of love is present. They were ongoing, sacrificially serving. And then patience of hope was the future, and that was the fact that they were waiting for the Son. And so we took the noun, work, labor, patience. That work came out of faith. That kapos labor came out of agape love.
Yeah.
And that patience came out of deep hope.
And you just gave us three more things that we could add to our list of things to pray for under the success of the
yes.
message. Pray that the converts of our missionaries, and really your own life, would have a faith that would result in appropriate work to God. Pray that they would have a love that would be willing to labor to the toil of death, like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And pray that their hope and their confidence in the Lord would produce endurance. Wonderful, simple little things you're giving us, to just bullets to add to our list.
But what if all of us in our local churches would have a work that comes out of faith,
yeah,
a labor that comes out of agape, and a patience that comes out of hope.
Yeah.
And that patience, there is that under hupo, it's the under attack patience,
yeah,
that keeps me going. It's just not, oh, well, I'm going to hang on till, no, it's an aggressive holding on to the patience of hope. And that's where it goes with the verb to wait.
Yes.
So I took the nouns in verse 3 and compared it to the verbs in verse 9 and 10, and the tenses, past, present, future.
So we see an example right in what you've been pointing out of how to pray for the success of the message that the messenger carries. And then we moved into verse 2, that we would be delivered, Paul says, from unreasonable and wicked men For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we were looking at the end of the last broadcast at a concrete example right out of Paul's life that demonstrates what this kind of prayer, praying for the safety of the messenger, looks like. And we went to Romans chapter 15, and we had just read a prayer that Paul asked the believers to pray in verses 30 and 31. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And that's the idea there of agonizing, laboring. It's interesting that these believers had never met Paul, and yet he asks them to pray this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And we can actually go to Acts and see how that prayer was answered.
Yeah, Acts 23, we see a conspiracy that is formed to kill Paul, and it is so comforting. Many of you parents might be listening, and your child is going on a mission trip this summer. You're already sensing some anxiety about that.
Yeah.
And you're thinking plane flight, you're thinking bugs, germs, water, you're thinking what is going to happen. You're thinking gorillas. You're thinking
possibility of
borders,
anything.
Kid
gets lost.
Yeah, border problems. And so one of the things you already are praying is for the safety of your child. A lot of mission groups going out. Some on our campus right now are right now on a mission journey.
And some of them are in very dangerous places.
Very dangerous places. And we're very conscious. We prayed on two occasions yesterday for the safety of those who are gone and for the success that they would have. Why don't you take that Acts 23 story? Because I think it really will be a settling thing to realize God sees and God knows.
Well, maybe the two of us could kind of work through it, because I know we both have kind of looked at this passage together. But this is when the Apostle Paul has come to Jerusalem, and he has been received by the brethren. We saw that in an earlier passage. And so God already answered that one prayer where he said, you know, pray for me that my service will be acceptable to those in Jerusalem. And the brethren received him gladly. But this is the big one. I mean, he gets arrested. Remember, he gets arrested and he gets thrown into the clink, which was a common. Sometimes Paul would show up and not too long later he'd be in some accommodations provided by the Roman government. And here he is now. He's in the clink, and there is a tremendous opposition to Paul. And there's a band of Jews in verse 12. That come together, 40 of them, and they make a vow. I mean, they literally say, I'm not going to eat. We're not going to eat or drink.
Or drink. They were so sure that they would nail Paul that day.
They end up hungry and thirsty. But they take this incredible vow that they're not going to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 that had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and the elders in verse 14 and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, you with the council signify to the chief captain, this is the ruler of that prison, the chief Roman military official in Jerusalem, you signify to him that he would bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. These are wicked men. They are doing what Paul said wicked men would do. They are deceiving. They are lying. They have these incredibly murderous plans. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Now look at the provision in verse 16. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now that's an incredible thing to me.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, here's a nephew who just happens to be at the right place at the right time to overhear this secret vow, because I'm sure they weren't doing this openly. So Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. And what's even more amazing is that this young guy in verse 18, Paul's nephew, gets an audience with this chief captain. And he brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who hath something to say unto thee. And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately. So he doesn't just get a meeting, he gets a private audience. And asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not yield unto them. Now here's a young Jewish nephew giving this kind of strong exhortation to a Roman high official. Don't listen to them. I just, you know, it's amazing. For there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men who have bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. And now they are looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain led the young man depart and charged him, saying, see thou, tell no man that thou hast showed these things unto me. And then in verse 23, he calls together, to kind of abbreviate this, he calls together 470 armed men. Some of them are horsemen, some of them are spearmen, some of them are just common soldiers. And he provides beasts that they would set Paul on, and he sent him safe unto Felix the governor and wrote a letter to that effect.
Okay, now, key word, safe. What did we say to pray? There in verse 24 of chapter 23 of Acts, and bring him safe.
Yeah, that we would be delivered from evil men for safety.
Safety of the messenger. And what a story.
Incredible, isn't it?
As a sidelight, it kind of indicates the kind of wealthy background Paul came from, his sister being in a spot where her son could be even be within hearing of this.
Right.
So it's a little bit of an idea of what Paul turned his back on when he says, I've suffered the loss of all things.
Right. I hadn't thought of that.
That's an incredible thought. And so here's Paul, and here's the situation. Paul's asking for prayer as he travels. God's over here, sees this, has a little guy, a nephew, and the nephew overhears. How did he ever hear that? I mean, what he should not have even been hearing. And then an appointment he should never have gotten. But that is the marvel of when God calls, he sends, he protects, he gives a surety, he gives safety, he gives success. And it doesn't mean it's without pressure.
You know, I think it would be good for you to tell of that missionary that was on our campus recently, one of our graduates who's experienced some of the very thing we're talking about.
Entering into a country with a suitcase full of New Testaments in that language, got to the checkpoint, more than one Bible, 7 years imprisonment. And he had already been pinned on the ground with rifles in his back and had experienced a couple imprisonments. And yet, how he got through into that country with the new part of the Old Testament on his computer and a suitcase full of New Testaments in that language, it's only answer to prayer of the saints for the safety and the success of that message.
Well, we'll have to wrap the broadcast up today on that note. You can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download this broadcast as well as the rest of the broadcasts in our series, Praying for the Mission of the Commission. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.